Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you happen to be in the world. Thank you so much for attending. Welcome to our presentation for today. This is Hands-On with QuickBooks Online and Other Small Business Accounting Software, Part 1. We've got an action-packed presentation for you today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life and choosing to attend. Today's class is going to be focusing on the macro aspects of choosing a accounting solution for your organization. Specifically, we're going to be taking a look at small and medium-sized organizations and what are the accounting packages that specifically fit the needs of those organizations. You know, with small and medium business, it makes up an overwhelming percentage of the worldwide economy. And as such, there are a lot of businesses in that sector, and they're going to need good software. And we're going to hopefully go through and find some different ways of deciding and choosing on that particular software. Now, in addition to accounting software, throughout the presentation, we're also going to look at other major aspects of software decision-making for small businesses. So the other aspects of your organization, maybe payroll, maybe enterprise resource planning, so on and so forth, you're going to learn what type of things to be considering when making those decisions. This is the first of what will probably be many parts, looking not only at the software in terms of what's available, but then individual vendor solutions with it. Now, our intention for today is really kind of to lay the groundwork for future conversations, really kind of looking at what small business is, what makes it different than medium or large business. We're going to then take a look at some of the decision-making factors that should be considered when choosing a small business accounting solution. And we're going to evaluate, you know, for example, should it be on-premise? Should it be a cloud-based solution? Should it be something that is a subscription-based or should be a one-time purchase? Should it be something that is multi-user or single-user? You know, all of these are different things that we can consider when choosing a solution for our organization. Really, the intention for this specific presentation is to give you the big picture of what it looks like to pick an accounting solution and giving you an overall sense of what this landscape looks like of the different products and things that are out there. Now, just a quick reminder for you accounting professionals and other financial professionals that happen to be with us here today, this podcast is eligible for CPE credit. It's super simple. You can earn a CPE credit for just listening and taking a quick exam. If you're interested in learning and receiving credit for today, head on over to cpetoday.com. Find our course and complete the evaluation and complete the quiz, and you will receive a credit for today's quiz, for today's class. Very simple, very easy to do. And we encourage you that if you are watching, maybe this is something you would want, check out the link below if you're interested in this. All right. Just a quick acknowledgement with respect to what we're going to go through here today. So please go ahead and take a look at this. And without further ado, let's just go ahead and dive into our presentation for today. Okay. So where I want to start with this is just kind of giving you the big picture with respect to the accounting landscape and some of the differences between small, medium, and big business. Now, this is a graphic that was originally authored by my good friend and colleague, Randy Johnston. In my opinion, one of the absolute greats when it comes to technology and accounting software, and a good friend and colleague. He's been putting together this accounting software pyramid for the last probably 30 years to really help people understand some of the major differences between different solutions that are out there. And depending on the size and nature of your organization, there's going to be different things that are going to apply to you or not apply to you. So what this pyramid kind of shows us is the difference between these different levels in terms of how they are sold and how they are implemented. Now, for the purposes of our discussion today, we're going to be focusing mostly on the entry level, micro business, and small sized SMB market. So really kind of the lower end of the market. In another series, we're going to look at more of the higher end of this market. You know, so if you happen to be working for a Fortune 500 or a larger institution, stay tuned. There will be stuff for you in a later broadcast. Now, what does this pyramid really kind of tell us? Well, if we look at this up at the high end of the market, typically those accounting solutions are typically sold by professional salespeople. They have products that typically require a long time to be able to both sell and implement. If we look at the mid-market, well, that's typically sold by value-added resellers, by IT consultants. It's also typically implemented by those people as well. Really kind of understanding with where The people who are actually selling it are also going to typically be the people who are actually implemented. So it's more of a relationship. Now, as we kind of come down to the lower end of the market and the smaller, let's say the smaller business case, the smaller business user, really kind of in that entrepreneurial small business market, this is where we're typically going to find the solutions that are going to be appropriate, let's say for Main Street USA. Solutions like QuickBooks, Xero, and others, those are typically sold by the companies themselves directly to the end users. They're typically sold either online, they could be sold by the telephone. In fact, some of these solutions are even sold in Costco, believe it or not. So that's perfectly okay, because usually the complexity of that particular market is not so that it really requires a ton of hands-on expertise and a ton of, let's say, developer time in order to make that solution work for you. Now, we're going to talk about and what quantifies the small, medium business market here, but for a lot of us, this is perfectly fine. And this is the approach that we're probably going to end up taking in most of these circumstances. And so, really, what we should be thinking about, it's up to us to be able to choose the solution, and it's also going to be up to us to implement this particular solution as well. Now, again, this graphic came from Randy Johnston, and he does a really good job in kind of showing us where all of the different companies kind of fit in the larger ecosystem of products that are out there. So if we look again at the top end of the market, these are going to be your big solutions. On the left side of this pyramid, we're going to see SaaS and cloud-based solutions. On the right side, we're going to go ahead and see hosted or on-premise. So you can kind of see there's a difference between stuff that I would install on my computer versus stuff that I would access and interact with on the cloud. Now, on the enterprise stuff, these are your big solutions like your Oracles and your Infor and your NetSuites and your Lawsons and other ones like that. Okay. In your mid-market, it starts to shake up a little bit more. That's where you're going to see, for example, your Acumatica's, Dynamics 365, and others. You know, at the small end of the market, everybody always immediately jumps to QuickBooks as being the only solution that's out there. Well, it's not, truthfully. There's actually a lot of different solutions that are out there to service the need of the small and medium market. It's just most folks don't have good brand awareness and are familiar with some of these. It's my hope to be able to give you some insight with all of these different solutions so that you don't immediately just jump to the one that you recognize as the brand leader. You've kind of got at least an appreciation for what these other tools can do. But in our SMB market, these are where you're going to find, for example, your QuickBooks, QuickBooks Desktop. Even QuickBooks Enterprise is really considered more of a small market. Even though it has the word enterprise in it, that doesn't necessarily make it a big product. So, these are going to be the kind of solutions that we're going to look at today. And we're over the course of a long period of time here, over several videos, we're going to take a look at pretty much every feature inside of QuickBooks Online. And we're also going to look at some of the other competitors too, Xero, Wave, Cashew, FreshBooks, and others. So stay tuned for those videos in terms of where they are coming up. Okay, so let's go ahead and stand back for a second. Let's try to understand what makes small business different compared to other types of businesses and of other size inside of the economy. Okay. Well, small business by far is the largest inside of the US economy. And I'm fair to say probably worldwide too. Small business probably makes up in every economy is their largest sector. It provides a great market, you know, in terms of opportunities to work, create businesses, and do interesting, cool things with it. As such, there's a lot of software to serve the market because there's a lot of potential clients that are out there. What a lot of people end up doing is they just jump to the solution that they've heard on the TV or the solution that they can advertise. But in reality is there's actually a lot of different accounting products that are out there. And often there's stuff that's going to fit the specific needs of your industry and your particular market. Okay, with COVID, more businesses are starting than ever before in terms of people finding opportunities to be able to do different things than they did even a year ago. And so I expect over the next couple of years that we're actually going to see an increase even in now compared to now with the number of small businesses that are going out there. As such, they're going to need good software. Okay, now, how big is this particular market? Well, there are about 30 million small businesses just in the United States. About 80% of these businesses only have a single owner operator, you know, where the founder is the, you know, head of payroll, the head of HR, the head of operations, the CFO, and the CEO. And that's a vast majority of consultants and even professional service firms with a single member lawyer or a single member accountant or something like that. Small businesses, for example, comprise about 99.9% of professional accounting firms. So when we talk about small business in the context of accounting, small business accounting is small business. You know, with the exception of Deloitte and KPMG and other firms like that, a vast majority of firms are small. And here are some various key metrics to kind of enforce that particular belief as well. 63.3% of new jobs created really kind of in the last couple of decades have originated in small business. Small business typically represents a vast majority of the employment for any particular society, any particular city. You know, things like your car dealerships and your firms and your restaurants and things like this make up a vast majority of the places where people choose to work. About 80% of small businesses survive more than a year, which is fantastic. You know, there's this whole belief that half of businesses fail, and really that's just not the case. Most folks can make it at least a year, and the odds that you'll survive in the long term if you can make it at least 2 years is pretty high if you can just kind of get past that two-year threshold. 50% of small businesses started between 2006 and 2011 have made it at least 5 years. Okay. Only about a third of small businesses survive 10 years or longer. Some do not survive that 10 years, but you know, only about a third do. So you might not make it in the super long term. Your business might evolve. It might grow into something else, and that's completely okay. You know, in my personal life, you know, I've started and run multiple businesses now, and you know, each has kind of led into something else. And so it's not that these businesses fail. It's just maybe they grow into something else. Now, in terms of inclusion, small businesses are a great way for diversity in the workplace and a great way to be inclusive in society. About a third of small businesses are minority owned. I've got some statistics here to kind of break down in terms of what demographic groups own what type of businesses and are involved in what type. But, you know, one of the best ways to pull yourself up is to start a business and to be responsible for yourself and to create a livelihood, not only for yourself, but an anchor in your community to get other people involved as well. Typically what we see within minority-owned businesses, a lot in hospitality, a lot in food service, also a lot in logistics, transportation, warehousing, and things of this nature. And it's just great to see people of all walks of life, of all demographics, of all education backgrounds, choosing to pursue the entrepreneurial spirit and choosing to take their own livelihood into their own hands. Now, in terms of age for this, unfortunately, we're not seeing enough young folks, and I say that tongue in cheek, fully realizing my age in this, going into small business. We've actually seen a decline generally with respect to millennials and even zennials kind of going into small business and choosing to work for themselves. I could say for myself, you know, I'm 35 years old. I've pretty much only worked for myself for my entire career. I've worked for my dad and my dad's accounting practice for a number of years, but really in my adult life, I've pretty much just worked on my own, and I've been in my own business now for about 12 years. You know, if I could say anything to younger folks, this is absolutely worth your time and the immense benefit that can come and the joy that can come from owning your own business and kind of taking it into your own hands. And so hopefully we see that trend reversing. I think COVID is probably a pretty good motivating factor for this in the sense that a lot of folks unfortunately are finding themselves without employment, and maybe starting their own business might seem a little bit more attractive than it did a couple of years ago. And certainly, if not owning your own small business, but working in a small business, I find to be a very worthwhile effort. It's amazing being able to have other people involved and engaged in your business and helping you grow. And I would love to be able to offer that to a colleague or a friend at some point that was choosing to open their own business as well and help them make it out. About 50% of small businesses are home-based, you know, and I think that's pretty common, especially for professional service and knowledge workers that you work from home. I could tell you that our whole company, CP Today and Devmatics, we all work from home. It's wonderful. You know, you get up, go down to your office. Hopefully you've got a dedicated workspace in your office, and you could be able to work from there without having to do the commute or let alone all the other additional costs that come from owning or renting professional office space. You know, of those home-based businesses, a lot are information-based, a fair number are construction-based, and then professional service-based as well. So lots of opportunities for different types of businesses. And I've got a slide here. I'm not going to go through every little bit of it, but just to kind of give you an appreciation based off of industries here in the United States, based off of the NAICS codes of where small businesses arise. And so over here, this is a listing of organizations with less than 500 people and the different type of industries that are represented in small business. And really, it's across the board. You know, I don't think you could open a car manufacturer as a small business, maybe a boutique one-off dealer. I don't think you could operate a mine maybe as a small business, or a chip manufacturer if you're making, for example, semiconductors. But so many industries have opportunities for small business, and hopefully we'll see more folks going into it. All right, let's go ahead and have our first review question for the day. Okay, what is the most commonly utilized small, medium business size accounting solution in North America? Is it Microsoft 365? Is it Xero? Is it Intuit QuickBooks? Is it Oracle Financials? Okay, well, it is actually QuickBooks, which is going to be the basis of our course here, is looking at QuickBooks. In future episodes of this, we're going to go hands-on and we're going to take a deep dive into each individual function, talking about how it works and some of the tips and tricks that go with it. But QuickBooks in all of its various forms, so QuickBooks Online, QuickBooks Desktop, QuickBooks Enterprise, Premier, so on and so forth, that is the most widely used SMB accounting solution at the moment. Microsoft 365 is a fantastic productivity platform for Microsoft. We're going to look at that as well in other videos. Xero is a really cool cloud-based accounting solution, but it doesn't have the market share that Intuit does with their QuickBooks products here. But we will take a look at that as well. And Oracle Financials is probably one of the most enterprise accounting packages you could get. It's certainly not appropriate for a vast majority of businesses. Certainly, if you're in the SMB market, it would be not a solution for you. Okay, so in our next section, let's go ahead and talk about some of the decision making for choosing this technology. And so these are some general observations of different things that I think you should kind of think through when you're choosing your accounting package. As a software developer, as a CPA myself, I really feel that one of the things that I see a lot of organizations lacking is the fact that they do not have good understanding with respect to where software works and how it functions. As such, they don't know the questions to ask when dealing with a vendor or doing research online for what solution to choose. You know, and so I'd like to make some general observations, and then I'd like to also present some questions that you should kind of be thinking about and some considerations that you should generally be thinking about with respect to choosing a solution. Okay. Now, generally with small business, the smaller the business is, the less likely it's going to have subject matter expertise in a lot of areas. You know, if you're a restaurant owner, for example, you're probably an amazing cook, or at least you hopefully are an amazing cook, but it's unreasonable to think that you're going to be an expert in payroll law or real estate law or accounting software for that matter, or payroll software. As such, people tend to just go off the feature list and shoot from the hip and not really understand some of the long-term implications and ramifications of choosing different technology. Generally, small business, for example, is going to have weaker internal controls, which is going to present different issues around security and privacy. For example, in small businesses, it's quite often to share passwords with people. Data will be stored in a, let's say, less than secure manner, typically unencrypted. Procedures will not be documented. As such, you know, institutional knowledge can be very difficult to pass on, and security is often something that is not a direct concern. It's nobody's specific business. A lot of applications in the business, however, very little integration. Small businesses will typically have the same amount of software as most organizations will, but they won't be integrated, so there's no real data sharing. Financial operation reporting tools do not really kind of cut it, and they provide stuff, let's say, in the standard accounting formats, but they will typically miss the specific needs of whatever that business operator is looking for. A good example of this, early in my career, when I was working in professional accounting, in public accounting, I had a client that was a restaurateur, okay? And he was an amazing cook, but he was not as financially literate as he probably should be being a business owner. As such, things like a balance sheet and an income statement really missed their mark. They were great from a financial reporting. They were perfectly GAAP, but, you know, they weren't necessarily what this person needed to run their business. As such, you know, it can be very difficult when you're producing these reports for people, but they don't give them the information they actually need to be able to report effectively and understand their business operations effectively. Now, a lot of businesses typically will do stuff ad hoc. They'll use Excel kind of as a ad hoc go-to workaround for their systems. It will be a mess and web of spreadsheets, and that's never good. You know, spreadsheets are static and they're typically not very well secured or structured, and so sharing information can be quite difficult. Small businesses tend to get lapped by bigger businesses because they don't have the resources to be able to really kind of keep their systems up to date. And so there are technological advances that have emerged, like bank feeds, mobile apps to be able to interact with your accounting solutions, alternative payment methods, you know, such as Apple Pay, or even something far out there like cryptocurrency. But either maybe due to lack of awareness or incompatibility of existing systems, they're not able to incorporate a lot of this functionality. And the needs of many businesses, they kind of operate in these what we call mini or micro vertical markets. These markets continue to expand and many kind of become general business kind of marketplaces, but they're not really kind of capable of serving the needs of the original businesses that they started with. And so often these businesses start with one provider, the provider keeps to grow and expand, and they don't keep up in that. And that can be quite difficult and frustrating for an accounting when choosing an accounting package. A majority of small businesses struggle with payroll, and truthfully, in our business, it's a struggle too. You take something that is extremely high complexity with high compliance and ramifications. If you don't do it correctly, that one business function is critical in terms of being able to pay people. And if it's not done exactly right, it can cause huge issues for the organization. So it's something that I think when you're choosing your accounting solution, you should choose carefully if it's something that you need and functionality that you are looking for. Workflow. Okay. The idea that I want things to be done a specific way in a specific order to either be for compliance or for productivity purposes. Most smaller organizations have no concept of this. Most of these organizations are what I like to refer to as hand to mouth in terms of what I see is what I do, you know, and they're working on stuff in a very ad hoc way. You know, there might be a little bit coordination in terms of what people do inside of an office, but this concept of, you know, kind of standardizing a product and having a workflow to manage that process from start to finish is mostly lost. And those who do have it, usually it's stuck in paper, which causes issues in terms of being able to gain understanding and oversight with respect to those different operations. And I will say also, most organizations, small organizations, are starting to embrace cloud technology. They're just not there yet. And unfortunately, a lot of this tech has been around a long time, and competitors and larger markets have assumed this. But small business is kind of a little bit late to the party. You know, it's not too late though, but it's a little bit later compared to a lot of the other providers in the marketplace. And if you're looking to be competitive, if you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not expanding, you're declining. I mean, you really need to be at the front of the market, maybe not the absolute bleeding edge, but when new technology like this comes out, you have to make a meaningful investment of time, money, and resources to be able to incorporate it into your organization correctly. Okay, so here are my five critical questions to determining right fit for an accounting solution for your organization. These are the questions that you should be thinking about. You should certainly be discussing with your teams with respect to the solution selection. Because different solutions are going to have different functionalities and have different ways of doing things, and you want to pick something that is a good fit. If you pick the wrong solution, it's very costly, very expensive to be able to gut your accounting system and basically put in something again. It's sometimes not even just double the cost, it could be even more than that, just due to the inefficiencies that can be generated. Okay, so the first question, does this application provide access to critical functionality to meet specific business needs? Does it have things like accounts payable? You know, can I manage my payables and cut checks and have insight on what's been paid versus what's not been paid? Likewise, does it have payroll functionality? If so, does it support everything I need to do? You know, if I'm only operating in one state and it does payroll for that one state, great. But what happens if I have an employee in another state and it doesn't offer multi-state payroll? Well, maybe that's not a good solution. It's going to cause other issues. So you want to ensure, and you want to create a list. When you're going to choose an accounting package, here are the absolute have to haves. Here are the nice to haves and, you know, kind of the lower necessary functionality for you. But for your absolute has to have, general ledger, reporting, security and privacy and oversight, accounts receivable, invoicing, make sure that your accounting package has that functionality. Does the application adequately secure sensitive and confidential information? Is there a concept of privacy and security in this accounting package? We very much want to ensure that internal controls are met from the very minimum of, well, we don't want to create a fraud situation to the very, that's a very maximum. To the very minimum, I don't want to create unnecessary errors or risks inside of my organizations. Your solution, whatever you choose, should adequately provide good security. At a very minimum, the data should be encrypted. Everybody should have their own individual accounts in terms of being able to access and work with that data. There should be some idea of privilege in terms of here's an administrator, here's a manager, here's a user. Can the application process the amount of transactions? Okay. Throughput is hugely important. You know, certain applications are designed for certain throughput than others. You know, some applications, you know, for example, QuickBooks is great if you're doing, let's say, a couple hundred invoices a month, not a problem. You're doing a couple hundred invoices a day, a couple hundred invoices an hour, you're going to run into issues in terms of throughput. It's just not designed for that level of transactions. They might advertise it as such, but that's not the whole story. The whole story is, you know, does the system become unresponsive? Does it lock up at that volume of transactions? It might commit those transactions, but if it becomes unusable or becomes unnecessarily long to process something, well, you're probably going to want to choose something that can process a higher throughput of transactions. Now, at the same time, I would also tell you complexity. You know, if you have a lot of transactions and each transaction's complex, you're probably outside of the SMB market. You're probably going to need to go to a higher tiered solution. But if you're a professional service firm, you're a construction firm, you're doing a couple of invoices here or there, a couple journal entries here or there, that's a different question. And that's a different solution than a high volume, high complexity organization. Does it give us the necessary reports out of the box? Most solutions, you could design whatever report you need, but ideally you should pick something that's got the right reports for you. I mean, all your basic stuff, balance sheet, income statement, that's great, but unpaid bills, payroll forecast, cash in bank, things of this nature, ideally you're going to have the information necessary to make a decision. If we look at the primary quality of accounting, what is the primary intention? It's decision usefulness. Okay. I create reports in a systematic way according to specific standards to let decision makers make reports so that they can run their business. And if the reports cannot be generated, that's probably not a good solution for you. Does the application generate a significant ROI? You know, for the amount of time, money, and effort that's going to go into this, is it going to make sense in the long run to use this solution? And how long will it take to recover? Okay, let's have our next review question. How can SMBs determine the right fit for an accounting solution for their organization? Okay, look at the big picture of what you're trying to accomplish. Think holistically, think long-term. Okay, choose whatever solutions on sale at Costco or Staples. Speak with colleagues familiar with your business and industry. Read reviews and articles about potential solutions prior to making a decision. Well, I think it's going to be 1, 3, and 4 here. Okay. I think those are all really good solutions in terms of how you're going to be able to pick an accounting platform. What I would tell you, for example, is that you should consider speaking with people who are familiar with your industry and familiar with your business. You should absolutely read your own reviews and read potential solutions. But the biggest thing I would say is you should think big picture, think holistically, think long-term. When you're making an accounting decision, realize that whatever solution you're going to pick is probably going to be in place here for 7 to 10 years, if not longer. So kind of keep that in mind with respect to different solutions that are out there, and pick something that's going to not only serve your needs today, but if you grow, if you expand, if you add complexity, something that's going to meet your needs there in the future as well. All right, so in our next section, let's go ahead and take a look at core accounting system functionality. And I've got probably, 8 to 10 of these core functions here. We're going to talk through probably most of them, probably not every one of them, just depending on time. But I want you to be aware of some of the main things an accounting package does for your organization. An accounting package, in a lot of ways, is the system of record for an organization. It's the ledger of money in and money out. It's the ledger of who we owe and who owes us. And as such, there are a variety of kind of functions that are supported by this that we need to have in order to be able for the system to be useful inside of our organizations. Okay. Now, any accounting system ultimately comes back to what we refer to as the general ledger. For my accounting folks here, you know, you're well familiar with the fact of how important it is to keep the general ledger clean, correct, accurate, and as the core of the accounting solution. Ultimately, almost every transaction except non-posting transactions, like an estimate, for example, which doesn't mean somebody owes us, it's the potential to turn it into a sale. Things like an estimate, for example, that wouldn't post to the GL, but everything else should. Okay. So what should you be looking for in an accounting package that would, and the questions and the features and functions that would be there for that GL? Well, first and foremost, I tell you a customizable chart of accounts, the ability to add accounts, update accounts, delete accounts, things being able to use like account numbers, types. You know, you want to be able to distinguish a bank account versus a credit account or a liability account or something like that. Should give you real-time reporting. If I run a general ledger, I should be able to see all transactions of a particular date. Ideally, I should be able to do accrual-based accounting. You know, there's two major methods of accounting that we utilize, cash basis and accrual basis. You know, cash basis is based off the money I've received and money I've paid out as of that particular day. Accrual allows us to be able to, you know, include things in future periods or defer things to future periods. Essentially, it's the principle of matching. You know, when I have accruals or deferring, I'm matching something to a future period. You know, if I, for example, buy a major fixed asset like a house, for example, or I buy a major piece of equipment, well, I maybe want to match a piece of that over time. Well, our general ledger should be able to take a component, a piece of that transaction, and defer it into different periods so that we can match that cost in the period where it is being used. We should have the concept of categories and subcategories, accounts and subaccounts, so that we can have things roll up into a single ledger. And so we can get a consolidated view of different aspects of our business. And if we want to, we can drill down into that level of detail, but sometimes we don't. We might need multi-currency. You know, what happens if we're operating in North America and we're in Mexico, Canada, and the United States? Well, that's a peso, a US dollar, and a Canadian dollar. We might need the ability to be able to transact, certainly for our customers and producing invoices and payables in that home currency, but ultimately be able to pull it back into whatever our home currency is and report it on it that way. We might need capabilities around budgeting and forecasting, planning, essentially, understanding when and where we're going to receive money, or when and where we're going to plan our expenses can be very useful. You know, the general ledger gives us the ability to do budget to actual comparison reporting to gain insight and hopefully control over our operations. Additionally, around reporting, we might choose to do exports. We might want to slice and dice that data a variety of different ways, creating key performance indicators, pivot tables, and other things like that. Now, in modern solutions, we also have this idea of bank cards and credit cards, and ultimately now bank feeds. Solutions like QuickBooks Online, for example, this is one of their best features, is the fact that we can use a bank feed and have Bank of America, Wells Fargo, automatically download those transactions directly to us. And that way we're keeping our bank and our ledger almost in parallel with each other. There might be some things that are out there that the bank doesn't know about and ultimately haven't been picked up on the bank feed yet. You know, for example, checks in transit, deposits in transit. But for the most part now, almost all transactions are electronic. That's how majority of us are spending our money, is through credit cards, debit cards, e-checks, and things of this nature. As such, doing the reporting on this is much simpler if we just download those transactions from the bank and we do a comparison at the end to ensure that the bank feed matches whatever that bank statement is. But it could save us a tremendous amount of time and ultimately a tremendous amount of money. Accounts receivable, people owe us money. Okay, so you might want to do quotes, sales order, invoices, payments, credit memos. All of these things are standard accounting formats and standard accounting documents that we use to either, hey, you owe us money, or hey, you overpaid this and I need to issue a credit for that. These are all standard items that we would want to look for. The ability to be able to charge our customers and then reconcile those charges and account for those charges inside of our system. We'd want various accounts receivable reporting. Probably the most common accounts receivable reporting is aging. Who owes us money and how long have they owed us money for? Is it current? Is it 30, 60, 90, 120 days? Hopefully not 120, but that does happen. So things of this nature. Maybe we want to do statements, automatically generating our statements in terms of at the end of the month, here's what has been paid and here's what has not been paid. That could save a tremendous amount of time, especially if you couple it with something like email, where these statements will be issued automatically. We can also do things like escalations for delinquencies or insolvency or things like this, where we can capture this information and then potentially use it for collection purposes in the future. Additionally, bank feeds also can really help. You know, when I receive a check from a client, I deposit that check into our account. It will automatically pair that check to my bank records and then to my accounting records and makes the accounting side of this very, very simple and easy, especially if it is electronic to begin with, like an ACH transfer. We also are starting to see, and you might want to use alternative payment methods, PayPal, Venmo, Stripe, and others like this, even gift cards or even cryptocurrency in the future. Now, owing people money, okay, accounts payable. Now, with respect to accounts payable, it's very important that we pay our vendors correctly on time according to the terms of whatever our agreements or the terms of the invoice are. Well, so at the very minimum, we want the ability to be able to input bills, do an aging of that accounts payable, pick the stuff that we want to be able to pay, and then automatically create the payment for it, either electronically and issue payment advice to our bank to electronically send money, or at a very minimum, be able to collect this information and have our accounting solution automatically generate checks for us. So other functions that might be useful might be requisitions, purchase orders, purchase invoices, credit memos, things of this nature. Depending on the complexity, you might want those additional features and functions with it as well. Now, another thing to kind of think about is 1099s, okay? Accounting not only is a decision-making system, it's also a compliance system as well. And 1099s are a perfect example of this, where we have to be able to account for what we paid a particular vendor by who that vendor is. Are they an individual versus a corporation, by amount, and to be able to issue the appropriate tax forms that go with this. And we call that a 1099. And if you're paying anybody at the time of this recording over $600, an individual in a given calendar year, you have to report upon that. You want to be able to get that information so that you can make those decisions easily for your company. You might have inventory control. If you're a professional service firm, probably not. But you know, if you're a small warehouse company, if you're a small construction company, you're probably going to need things around inventory. So control of purchasing, receiving, selling of inventory. You're probably going to want to track inventory so that you can charge for it appropriately and recover those costs. You might want to be able to forecast your inventory. Okay. And then know when you need to reorder based off of certain current supply levels. I will tell you, in the context of small business, this function tends to be the biggest issue with small businesses in terms of choosing an accounting package. More small businesses struggle with inventory than I think probably any other function. Accounts payable, receivable, general ledger, that's all standard. Inventory seems to be the thing that most folks struggle with respect to picking that accounting solution. And so I would tell you, certain applications like QuickBooks, it's not a really strong inventory system. You probably need to supplement it with a solution like Fishbowl as an inventory add-on to that capability if that's something you need, because most small business accounting solutions really struggle and are deficient in this specific area. Sales management. Okay, so with respect to this, you might have the ability to sell to different people in different ways. You might have a purchaser versus a shipper. You know, you need to buy it from one person and then ship it to a different person if need be. You might need to track back orders, partial shipment. You might have special like inventory pricing, bundles, volume discounts, minimum quantities, quantities of measure, different currency. You might have different promotions and coupons and things of this nature. You might have a strong need, for example, to integrate your accounting solution with your sales and customer systems in order to provide better customer system, better customer service. So be aware of what the different ways you plan on selling your products so that you can choose an accounting package that supports those sales mechanisms that you're choosing to use. Now, increasingly, accounting systems are becoming more than just accounting systems. They often are integrating and tying into a variety of other accounting needs, such as inventory or payroll systems, as well as wider business needs as well. Resource planning, for example, project management is another component of this. What's very beneficial in tying your accounting system into it or using your accounting system in this way is that your money and your projects and your time and your billables are all kind of in one place. Most accounting solutions will have some aspect of project management at some degree and some level of usability. But at a very minimum, you might want to, for example, track costs and revenue against budgets and estimates. You might want to schedule organizational resources so that certain people are going to do on certain tasks or certain projects are going to be allocated certain inventory. You might want to build capacity for designated periods. If your business is really seasonal, for example, you might want to build in the ability to be able to account for that, and the accounting system might be a really good place for that data to live. I would tell you that I would take an imperfect project management solution that's built into an accounting system than trying to bite off an entire project management solution for an organization. If you don't need it. You know, some organizations, it's really important in terms of having kind of that full-blown system, but for a lot of organizations, it isn't. And kind of having some of that functionality in the accounting system would probably solve and resolve a lot of the needs for most of the organizations that are out there. And so you might want to consider this as functionality for your accounting solution in the future. Now, in choosing any solution, security should be one of the biggest things that you consider because a data breach, unfortunately, is a very real possibility for all organizations in today's current economy and current climate. And a data breach is extremely expensive, very costly, and at the very minimum, it will be an embarrassment and an interruption to your business. And at the very most, it could put you out of business. So properly planning and properly accounting for and properly implementing security measures is, in my opinion, as critical as the main functionality that you'll be using in this accounting solution. So some things with respect to your accounting solution that you should consider. Does it support separate IDs and passwords for every person logging into the solution? Can each person have rights and privileges based off of who they are and what their function is into this? Everybody should have their own account. Nobody should ever be saving and sharing username and passwords, because if fraud ever occurs, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to be able to hold a specific person accountable if everybody was sharing the same login, because you're not going to be able to tell who did what. At the same time, for that particular account, they should have the correct level of privilege, no more than what they need to do their job function. And you should create your roles and your privileges and your access abilities based off of who that person is. So don't do the cookie cutter one size fits all, or hopefully not everybody's an admin inside of that solution. You should have specific privileges based off of who that person is to the organization. You should have things like audit trail functionality. So many frauds could be prevented if somebody would have either looked at the audit trail functionality on a regular basis, or at the very minimum, just reflected upon when certain things were done in the day. The audit trail functionality gives you the ability to see who did what, when, and where. And if you start to see weird things happening in off hours, that's usually pretty an indication that something fishy is afoot. And your solution should have the ability to be able to track those changes so that you can see the history of a transaction from one day to the other. And if it changes, certain things should never happen. You know, like, for example, a check payable name. I can't think of a good reason why you would ever change the name of a payable after the check has been issued. Most of the time, that's a pretty good example of where somebody has committed accounts payable fraud. So that audit trail functionality would give you the ability to be able to see that transaction and know when it changed, and then be able to look into it further. Certain sensitive information, you know, on the, let's say, accounts receivable side, maybe you're holding payment information, which hopefully you're not. due to PCI compliance and other things like this. But if you are, for example, retaining credit cards on file for your customers, well, are they encrypted? Can anybody just go and look at them? Can anybody go ahead and access this? Hopefully not. On your payroll side, you know, things like social security number, you have to have this information in order to be able to do the correct payroll documents. But is that information secured from everybody except the very few who maybe need direct access to that information as a component of their work? Likewise, are the same level of care and consideration done to the system level as it is to the user interface? Just because you can't look at something on the user interface doesn't mean that that data might not be available through something like an API, an application programming interface, or an ODBC connection, open database connectivity. Those types of tools are independent of what the user's interacting with and seeing on a day-to-day basis. And so we want to ensure that security isn't just at a, you know, a skin level thing. It's not just a facade. It's something that is very deep into the actual application itself. Okay, we should be considering the complexity and scale of our accounting solution. So what is the volume of transaction? What is the complexity? You know, high volume, high complexity automatically means go to a higher tier product. You're going to be very miserable if you're in a solution that doesn't allow for really high volume and really high complexity. A solution like QuickBooks, as great as it is, it is miserable if you do not meet their specific use case. They designed it really for professional service firms, mom and pop shops, low inventory complexity, low point of sale requirements. And if you meet their use case, it's a wonderful, beautiful, amazing product. But if you're a company that's doing 6,000 transactions a day with, you know, 100,000 pieces of inventory, you're never going to make that solution work well for you. Failing to kind of consider the complexity of your requirements and the volume of and throughput of your transactions is going to require what we would refer to as a rip and replace. And you're going to end up replacing that solution much sooner than needed. And it's going to cost you a lot of money with respect to replacing that. And sometimes it'll even be double or triple what the original investment is. And you're not going to have the same kind of planning time that you would in the original approach to this project, in the sense that you've got time to make it right. I mean, if you're in a rip and replace, it's usually you need to do it as quick as can. And the odds of getting sloppy with this are pretty high. Now, reporting should be something that you're considering right at the forefront of your project. While a lot of small business solutions could do a pretty good job of reporting transactional information, the data often has very little organizational use unless it can be quickly summarized into reports that are useful for managers and executives to make decisions. So ideally, your accounting solution is going to have a bunch of pre-built reports, balance sheet, income statement by detail, income statement by class, unpaid bills, accounts aging, things of this nature, because you're going to have people who are going to be coming to your office daily looking for information. And that's ultimately what accounting is. It's organization of information in a way that allows people to make useful decisions. So pick a solution that has the reports that you need and that you will utilize on a regular basis. So standard reports, balance sheets, income statements, AR, aging, payable, transaction, all that kind of stuff. But you should also have the ability to be able to customize some of these reports. So changing the header, changing the accounting style, maybe from accrual to cash, being able to do it on a defined period of time. So year to date, week to date, month to date, comparison based reports. So this year compared to the last year or this period compared to prior period. And you should also have the ability to be able to take this data out of the accounting solution as needed. So you should have the ability to take it out and format it further on, for example, Word, if you want to put it into like maybe a compilation report or something like that. Or maybe you want to do some ratio analysis. You should be able to pull this data out quickly and be able to organize it in, for example, Excel, and be able to organize it and do that kind of an analytics inside of Excel. Or maybe you need to email it to somebody. Well, you should be able to print it directly from that application into PDF format and be able to send it to somebody, or even better, send it directly out of that application in whatever format the person requesting it would like. So lots of opportunities with respect to reporting in most of these solutions. And I would also tell you in 2021, you should also be considering solutions that allow you to be able to pull this data out programmatically using tools such as Power Query or Power BI for business intelligence, so that you can create dashboards and other reports that might be useful for organizations. Okay, in our last section for today, we're going to go ahead and consider some cloud-based accounting applications and some of the major features and functions of those cloud-based solutions, comparing them to their on-premise solutions and some of the big differences that come between them. So in cloud-based solutions, users are often having to purchase additional licensing. What's great about this compared to the on-premise is the licensing is typically month to month. So you can purchase only what you need for the duration that you need it. You know, if you need additional licenses, you can go up. If you need less licenses due to it's not the busy season, you can go down. Traditional on-premise, typically you're going to buy a license. It'll be there for a year. Then you're going to end up paying maintenance or upgrade fees if you need to make some changes. And you typically have to buy for the peak period. You know, so if you need 20 users for 2 months out of the year, well, you're going to end up having to buy 20 licenses for all 12 months, not just the 2 months you need them. Versus cloud solutions, typically they're going to be variable priced just for the duration of time that you need them. Okay, what about data and application maintenance? Well, in cloud-based environments, it's a SaaS-based offering, software as a service. You consume it in a way where all you're responsible for is actually utilizing the application itself. The software updates, the maintenance, the security, the backup, all of that is going to be taken care of by the vendor that is providing that solution. Traditionally, on an on-premise solution, you're responsible for everything. The backup, the security, all of that is kind of required for you to be able to utilize the solution. So, you know, when you're thinking about like this might be $20 or $30 per user per month, realize you're also not having to come out of pocket for the hardware and all of the other costs associated with running that inside of your office. You log in, you do your work, that's it. And to me, there's value associated with not having to have that kind of overhead and maintenance in terms of having to manage these different systems that are out there. The vendor is responsible for managing it in a SaaS-based environment. Very similar to how I consume power in my home or internet in my home or gas in my home or water in my home. I don't pump the water from the ground. I don't generate the electricity outside of my house. It's delivered over a wire. It either works or it doesn't. And I don't have to deal with any of the other superstructure that makes that possible. Storage. Cloud-based providers typically will store their data in vendor-provided storage. However, a lot of vendors, for example, and I like this trend, is giving you the ability to download copies of your data. They're also giving you the ability, for example, to maybe do a hybrid solution where some of the data is in your organization, some of it is in their organization in the cloud, or sometimes you have a mix of both options. I think that's great, but typically with a SaaS-based accounting solution, a software as a service-based accounting solution, it's all going to be managed and maintained directly by that vendor for you. On-premise, you have to do all of that. You're responsible for configuring the storage as well as the backup that goes along with it. So again, there's costs associated with it. Access to applications and data. Well, in cloud-based environment, applications and data is typically done through either a web browser or what we refer to as a thin client. A thin client is a lightweight application that's installed on your computer that typically just connects directly to that cloud-based provider, and it provides a more streamlined experience in terms of being able to connect to that application. But the application will not operate unless there's consistent internet access. So it's nice because I like internet browser-based applications because if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But the client isn't having to wonder, well, is it my specific computer causing an issue? They can always go to another computer and verify that that solution is either working or not. Versus on-premise, it's a thick client, meaning it's this installed application. So I have to, you know, in the old days, I'd walk around with a floppy disk or a CD and I'd have to install it on everybody's computer. Or we'd set up a terminal services environment where everybody would remote into a server. But either way, IT is involved in terms of managing and maintaining that connectivity and that functionality. Security. In cloud-based environments, security is typically the responsibility of the vendor. So in terms of configuring encryption, storage, all that kind of stuff, they're going to take care of. They will typically enforce specific password requirements, you know, of a certain length and complexity. But ultimately, they're the ones that are configuring and managing this. In an on-premise solution, it's really up to you, you know, in terms of configuring it and setting it up correctly. There's a million different configuration options you can go with, but you can put yourself into an invalid configuration and an unsecure configuration by just making and overlooking certain security considerations of not understanding how certain features and functions of the operating system or the application can cause that not to become secure. You know, the nice thing about working with the cloud, hopefully, if it's a qualified environment and a qualified provider, they're going to have all the necessary stuff to ensure that your connection remains secure and that your data remains private. That peace of mind, at least for me, is worth a lot of it. Scalability. Okay. Cloud-based solutions scale very easily by design. You know, if you look at something like QuickBooks Online, the concurrency of the number of people using it has allowed for that product to really kind of go up and to support a large number of people. What's great is if you're a growing organization, if you need to add additional licenses to QuickBooks, additional licenses to 365 or others, you just provision them instantly and those accounts are configured and ready to go. On-premise, you might run into hardware capacities. You know, you might have, you know, the ability to buy more licenses, but the underlying hardware can't support more than X number of users. You know, as such, you might have to go out and do additional capital improvements in order to be able to reach that particular scale that you're looking to achieve. Data conversion. Okay, often when we're moving from cloud solutions to from on-premise to cloud, there'll usually be some sort of conversion process to be able to take the data. Not always back though. Sometimes moving up to cloud is a one-way transition in terms of they'll have the ability to pull the data up, but not the ability to pull the data down. It depends, honestly, by provider. QuickBooks, you can go both directions, although not every aspect of the conversion from the cloud to on-prem and vice versa is supported. So be aware of some of the requirements of what it means to get into these solutions in terms of changing of your data. You can get into a situation where the data cannot be converted back. In terms of integration, cloud-based solutions, integrations are typically done system to system using what we call an API, an application programming interface, that allow for data to move back and forth very easily. Same with on-premise, you can still particularly use that. In both these instances, they're both pretty even in terms of what's available. On-premise probably has a slight edge because you, at the end of the day, have complete control over the environment. You might be able to do something on-premise because you have the ability to control that you might not be able to do in the cloud. But for the most part, as long as you're using a REST API, and if you're not familiar with that term, check out our integration and data sharing course with CP Today, and you can learn a little bit more about how APIs work and why utilizing a REST API would be fantastic. And whether you're on-prem or in the cloud, you can pull that data in and out very easily. In terms of disaster recovery, I will say that cloud definitely has the edge here with respect to disaster recovery. Again, the vendor is responsible for the configuration, the servers, the backup. If it's a qualified, great vendor, they're going to have multiple copies of the data in different places. And so in the event of a disaster, you're going to be able to recover a lot quicker because the data will not be in one central place. Versus if you're on-prem, running it in your data center in your office, well, what happens if the building burns down and all the backups happen to be inside of there? Well, in that particular instance, you might be out of luck and having to rebuild from scratch. You know, with a cloud-based provider, especially, you know, your big providers, your Amazon Web Services, Azure, they're built to survive large-scale disasters. In the case of Amazon, they're built to be able to survive disasters in two facilities concurrently. You know, and to get to that level of redundancy and durability would be very, very expensive if you were to do it on your own. The nice thing is about using these providers is that that would be done automatically for you. And it's just a factor of your fee. It's essentially taken care of. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our presentation here. We're going to wrap up here in a moment. Let's go ahead and have our final review question, then we'll say our goodbyes. Okay, our final review question. What are some of the most compelling features to consider with a cloud-based accounting solution? Okay, anytime, anywhere access, easily scalable from small to gigantic, comprehensive backup and disaster recovery functionality, completely managed security updates and infrastructure. Well, the correct answer is all of these. And in my opinion, this is why the cloud has such a large advantage compared to its on-premise counterparts, is because with these features and functions, these would be very expensive, if not impossible, to be able to do on your own. By utilizing a cloud-based provider, you get all these features and functions as a component of your monthly subscriber fees. And in my opinion, when you look at that fee, you know, you've got whatever the licensing of the software is, but then you've got this extra value added of not having to configure your own hardware and buy your own hardware and be responsible for security. And to me, this makes it absolutely worth it. All right. So what have we learned today? Well, I would say that small and medium businesses are the backbone of business and backbone of the economy. There's lots of options for all size organizations. Great news is there's so many great accounting packages that are out there. You can't really make a bad decision. They're all really, really functional and really, really well in that online cloud-based world. Okay. Now, this is the first of many classes that we're going to be offering in the cloud accounting space. And we're going to be looking at a lot of different providers. We're going to take a big look at QuickBooks Online because that's one that I think most of you are using. So in future classes, which will be coming out in the coming weeks, we're going to take a deep dive in QuickBooks Online and these other solutions. And we're going to basically be exploring each functionality of these solutions one by one. So we'll probably have a whole class just on accounts receivable, a whole class just on reporting for these various solutions. We're also going to look at the other stuff outside of QuickBooks like Xero, Cashew, Dynamics 365, Acumatica, and others. And we're also going to be offering stuff in that mid-market too. So if you're not in the small market, and you're a little bit bigger, we'll have you covered there as well. Well, if you're interested in this class and you found this material interesting and helpful, please feel free to follow us on social media. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and others at CPE Today on most of those platforms. If you have any feedback or questions based off of today's class, go ahead and shoot us an email, questions@cpetoday.com as well. And I also want to remind you, you can earn credits for today's class. If you go to cpe.cx/QB2T, and that's QB2T, you can take a short 5-question exam, and then you can earn your certificate and get your credits. So if you're a CPA, if you're a financial professional, and you need continuing education, I hope you enjoyed our class. Maybe you want to take our quiz, get your evaluation, and get your certificate and earn credits to maintain your licenses. And that's available at any time. I hope you consider joining us for future broadcasts this coming Friday. We're going to go ahead and do an introduction to Power BI. We're going to be hands-on talking about what the solution is and how it functions, creating different reports. If you've never seen Power BI before, in my opinion, it's the absolute leader in business intelligence solutions. So we'll take a deep dive on that. And next week, we're going to take a look at Excel tables and data modeling. This might sound like a dull topic. Trust me, it is not. There's so much amazing and compelling technology that's out there with respect to data tables. And I'm going to show you everything you've ever wanted to learn about tables inside of Excel, how they function, how they operate, and why you should be using them for pretty much every Excel-based spreadsheet that you take. Well, I'd like to say thank you to all of you. If you'd like our class today, consider subscribing. Go ahead and click our notification button. Leave us a comment below if you have any questions. Thank you so much for attending. We know you have options with respect to training. And so thank you so much for stopping by and joining us here today. Thank you. Best wishes and good luck.